a big jump in U.S. weapon sales to foreign countries, and the story of an Afghan soldier seeking asylum in the U.S. All of that and more today, January 26th, 2023. Good morning, early birds. I'm Jonathan Lehrfeld, and this is the Early Bird Brief, brought to you by Defense News and Military Times. First up, U.S. sales of military weapons to foreign countries catapulted to nearly $51.9 billion in fiscal year 2022. That total represents a 49% jump from $34.8 billion in sales the previous year, according to new State Department data. Direct commercial sales from contractors to governments also grew, reaching $153.7 billion, up from $103.4 billion the year before. Some foreign sales, however, came under intense scrutiny. In August, the State Department, which reviews and approves all sales to ensure that they meet national security objectives, notified Congress of sales to Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates for roughly $5 billion in Patriot and THAAD missile systems. Here's why it matters. The increase comes at a time when the U.S. is seeking to arm democratic countries that face a looming or already present threat of invasion. Last year's increase, for example, is largely because U.S. allies in Europe are rushing to purchase weapons for themselves in the wake of Russia's invasion of Ukraine 11 months ago. In the Pacific, the U.S. is also arming the militaries of Indonesia and Taiwan, the latter of which faces a near constant threat of invasion from China's military. Sanctions against Russia's defense industry allow the U.S. to siphon some of Moscow's shares of the market. Russia's largest customers include Egypt, India, and China. Another important story, Department of Veterans Affairs officials want to remind vets that some department benefits extend not only for the rest of their lives, but also after they pass away. Today, the department manages 155 resting places and funds an additional 121. Here's why it matters. Only about 20% of veterans who died last year were buried free of charge in department or state-run veteran cemeteries. Less than half of individuals eligible for some type of burial or gravesite financial assistance took advantage of the benefit. That's a small number when compared to how many vets use other VA support services. For example, about 85% of veterans eligible for education benefits use those payouts, and roughly two-thirds of veterans eligible for VA healthcare actively use those medical services. Matthew Quinn, the Undersecretary for Memorial Affairs at the National Cemetery Administration, said at an event on Tuesday, quote, "I want even more veterans and family members to know about and take advantage of the final benefits a veteran earns for their service." He acknowledged that only spouses and certain other dependents can be buried alongside a veteran in a national cemetery, which may play a role in why some vets may not choose the option. But he also encouraged folks to take advantage of other relatively unknown assistance, like free headstones for veterans being interred at private cemeteries and free medallions for existing headstones. Last year, VA provided about 350,000 headstones for veterans' graves and another 12,000 medallions. In other news, after 6 weeks of halted deliveries of F-35s, there is still no time frame on when they will resume. For more on this halt, Defense News Air Warfare reporter Stephen Losey breaks it all down for us.
Deliveries of new F-35s are still on hold, almost 6 weeks after Lockheed Martin halted their acceptance flights, and there's still no end in sight. Lockheed Martin ground acceptance flights to a halt after a December 15th mishap involving a new F-35B. Video of it went viral. You can see the hovering plane bounce, then start spinning around with its nose and wingtip on the ground before the pilot ejects. It's a scary clip. Fortunately, the Air Force pilot was okay. But something clearly went wrong, and the government is trying to figure out what. There are some signs that a high-pressure fuel tube failed in the plane's engine, which is made by Pratt & Whitney. Deliveries of those F-135 engines were also put on hold. Lockheed Martin is still building new F-35s and parking them at their main factory in Fort Worth, Texas. But before they can be delivered to the government, pilots need to take them for a spin in these acceptance flights. which they can't do right now. Lockheed Martin CEO Jim Taiclet said on an earnings call this week that the Navy's investigation into the December 15th mishap is still ongoing and that Lockheed is waiting for it to be finished before it can get acceptance flights going again. Lockheed's eager to get these planes into the government's hands. The company missed its goal of delivering 148 fighter jets in 2022 and said it was on track to meet that goal until the grounding. But when will deliveries start up again? Hard to say. Taiclet didn't say when he expects the investigation to finish, and it's possible that this could continue into February.
Thanks, Stephen. If you enjoyed our conversation with Stephen, be sure to rate us and leave a comment wherever you get your podcasts. Also on your radar for today, Abdul Wasi Safi, a former Afghan soldier who traveled across multiple continents to reach family members in Houston, Texas, is no longer facing a federal charge for illegally entering the U.S. An assistant U.S. attorney asked the judge this week to dismiss, quote, in the interest of justice, end quote, the case against him. Wasi, a former Afghan Special Forces officer, crossed the U.S.-Mexico border near Eagle Pass in September of last year. Border Patrol apprehended Wasi and charged him with a criminal misdemeanor for failure to present the necessary documents to remain in the U.S. He spent nearly 4 months at a detention center under U.S. Marshals custody. Wasi faced up to 1 year in prison and a fine of up to $5,000 if he pleaded guilty. But Wasi did not want a criminal record starting his life over in the U.S., especially after his service in connection with the country. According to Wasi's lawyers, he is now out of detention and free to restart his efforts towards seeking asylum. And now, here are some other stories that we're hearing chirps about. Our team reported that President Joe Biden officially announced yesterday he would send 31 M1 Abrams tanks to Ukraine, reversing course after Germany cleared the way for Europe to send scores of main battle tanks. Stars and Stripes is reporting that Secretary of the Army Christine Wormuth just spent some time in Hawaii getting a firsthand look at the deteriorating condition of the service's buildings. CNBC and other outlets are reporting that the Russian Defense Ministry said yesterday one of its hypersonic missile-carrying frigates had conducted, quote, hypersonic missile exercises in the western part of the Atlantic Ocean. And, in case you missed it, a number of outlets are reporting that classified documents were found at former Vice President Mike Pence's Indiana home.
Far over Barcelona, at long last, after 2.5 years of civil war, the government stronghold in the south of Spain has capitulated. Entry of the conquerors. Insurgent troops of General Franco's army hurry in to take possession of the latest prize in the lottery of blood and flame.
And on this day in history, in 1939, General Francisco Franco captured Barcelona in the Spanish Civil War. Franco led a right-wing coup in 1936. After that, Spain was divided into two major parties, the Republicans and Franco's Nationalists, which included aristocratic landowners, the military, and the Catholic Church. Barcelona was the capital of the Republican government, and the war came to an end not long after the capital fell. That's it for us this morning. To get more of the top stories and breaking news, go to defensenews.com/EBB to subscribe to the Early Bird Brief newsletter. If you liked what you heard, give us a like wherever you get your podcasts, and be sure to follow us on social media at @defense_news and at Military Times. Also, please rate us and be sure to leave a comment. The Early Bird Brief is hosted by me, Jonathan Lehrfeld, and produced by Zimone Z. Perez. Today's episode features stories by Joe Gould, Leo Shane III, Stephen Losey, and the Texas Tribune. Our editor-in-chief is Mike Gruss. Have a great day.